Amen. We're worshiping Jesus. That's what we came here for. Amen. Just to be as God's people, and God wants us to come together just to worship Him, enjoy His presence, and just to really reach out. And most of all, that, you know, that we might walk away to feel that God has touched us. Amen. Well, the year's unfolding, as my wife mentioned earlier, but kids all back to school. Who started school already? Some of you started, but I think most of you all start this week. But well, I just want to pray for our children as they go back to school for another year. And we just trust that as the year unfolds, you'll learn more of God's creation, everything that God wants for you to learn, but the practical things in life, and as you take those things on, the Spirit of God also will work in your young life. So, Lord, we just bring our children, our young people before you, Lord, all those who have started school, who are going to school, the little ones who are going to preschool and kindergarten, Lord, we just bring them all before you, Father God, that, Lord, in their learning years, Lord, that they might grow strong in every way, Father God. Lord, that as they grow, Lord, there'll be character sown into their lives. There'll be strength come upon them, Father God. And Lord, as they just come along here, Lord, each week, Father God, and share with their brothers and sisters, Father God, and share with other families, Lord, we just trust there'll be a real impartation of your love and grace in their little lives, Father. Lord, we just pray and we just ask, Lord, protect these young ones, guard them, Father God. Lord, as they come into this new way of life, this new way of learning, Lord, Lord, that you will be with them, you will be their strength, Lord, and Lord, that they might look to you and trust in you. Amen? Amen. Well, it's good to be able to share the Word of God as always, and let's trust that as the year unfolds, that we know God's got something good for us, and we just want to release ourselves and to fit into the things of God, what He has, those plans and purposes, all those things. But so this morning, I just want to share a few things, but we've all enjoyed a wonderful Christmas, I'm sure, haven't we? Had a great time, and it's just been a relaxing time for many. Some people have had to work, some have been off work and had breaks and all that sort of thing. But Christmas is really just a wonderful time. It's a great time. But the most important thing for all of us is, as God's people, it signifies a time of celebrating God's great love for us, isn't it? That in that He gave us Jesus. And all through that, it just signified a new beginning. It was a great thing, this new birth, a beginning of a new life, a great expectancy that was upon the people in the land at that time, that long-awaited arrival, the Messiah, had been born. And as we know, He was a long-awaited Messiah. Many had awaited. The prophets as well, they longed to see that. But here we see that this Messiah has now come upon us, and he was born. That prediction that took place long ago was now come into being. And as we know that, in the town of Bethlehem, the Anointed One, this Emmanuel, God's own Son, had come to be with His people. And as we know, and we spoke about this a lot over Christmas, how the angels rejoiced about this newborn King. And we hear that spoken about in all the carols that we sing. You know, one particular verse comes to mind, that man will live forevermore because of Jesus Christ. And so for us, You know, we can sing that song with real joy and gusto and gladness, can't we? Because it's very relevant in our lives, that we can live forevermore. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come into our lives and he's changed everything and laid out a path that we might follow. And we know that for those who accept Christ, we'll have Christmas forever in their hearts. It will always be a meaningful time. It won't be just a season that comes and goes and all that type of thing. But it's something that we will rejoice forevermore because of Jesus Christ. And so we do rejoice in that fact, that through the birth of Jesus, you know, we were given this wonderful opportunity to be a part of God's great kingdom. And so that's a great thing. And I just want to share a portion of scripture this morning from Luke chapter 2. Again, here it speaks a lot about Jesus. And what I want to speak about this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 33. And it commences here where Jesus is being presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to be presented to the law, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two pigeons. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts and brought the child. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." So there we see, there we have that wonderful prophecy there about from Simeon there. But we also see that it tells us there that in keeping with the law, how Jesus was circumcised, he was named Jesus as was predicted by the angels, and we know, of course, that the name given to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He was brought to Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord, the firstborn. Why? Because God had first claim on his life. And so we now see this devout man, Simeon. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had been eagerly awaiting the coming of the Messiah. And just as Simeon is waiting, so should we be waiting. We know that at the time will come when Christ will return. And as we know, each day, we don't know the time or the hour, but each day it comes, it shortens the coming. But so we see, we always, just as Simeon was waiting upon this Messiah, we should also be eagerly waiting, having that expectancy and looking to the coming of the Lord. But always in our own lives, just seeking God, looking for God, looking for Jesus. There's something in our lives at this very moment, always wanting to be surrounded by his presence. And so we see here the revelation that Simeon received was that God would not let him die before he had seen the Messiah, this baby called Jesus. And that was the Simeon's prayer, his heart, that when he seen the Lord, he could die in peace. And so that happened. But Simeon was able to be see that take place and see that revelation fulfilled. But most of all, he was heartened, I'm sure, and receiving God's promise of eternal life. And I think that's just a powerful testimony, is it? That it's a powerful example to anyone who does not know Jesus Christ. You know, if you tell this story to someone and they hear it, I'm sure it would enlighten their lives. And hearing the words of Simeon say, "Lord, I can now die in peace." And that's always on our hearts, isn't it? But for people to have the peace of God in their hearts, in their lives. And I know every time we go to the nursing home, we all always open up with prayer. And a lot of the folk there are all in different stages of age. Sadly, some of them, suffer many afflictions, and you just don't know what takes place. But so we always pray, you know, that the Spirit of God might touch them, that there would be a peace come upon them, upon these dear people in their old age, that through the Spirit of God, through God touching, you know, that there would be something in here that, you know, would touch them and be able to speak to them. And as I said, we just don't know what goes on. So we have to speak that into people's lives, don't we? We have to pray that for God's presence to be with people, because we just don't know it ourselves. We know in part, but not in full, how the Spirit just touches people and that. And so we will always pray that prayer, that, you know, that peace will be upon these elderly people's lives. So Simeon, you know, he made that declaration, "Lord, I can now die in peace." And so I feel, you know, that always should be always on our hearts. He said, "For my eyes have seen, your eyes have seen, our eyes have seen. We have seen the Christ, haven't we? We experience it. We experience God's presence always." And I say, you know, let it be with us, you know, that for our eyes to see, that for all the things that God has put before us, everything that he wants us to rejoice with, you know. And when we are confronted by Christ, we want to recognize the Christ. We want to recognize Jesus, don't we? We don't want to want the Lord to pass by. We don't want to miss out on his presence in any shape or form. And we want to be able to declare, we have seen a great light. We have seen a great light. And so we have that hope, don't we? And so that's something that we need to be always sharing about, this great light and hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we know, in God, something is always being birthed, isn't it? God's always doing something good. One little chorus, God is up to something good, you know? And that always sort of comes to mind when you think about things, that, you know, God's always doing good things. And we always look forward to that, don't we? And about that God is birthing things. He's laying visions on people's hearts. He's giving us ideas. He's showing us things. He's always at work. doing things. God always gives us a picture of what we can hope for in the days ahead. And so I would say that over Christmas and as we approach the coming of another year, we reflect over many things, don't we? We look back and think about, you know, all the things that took place last year, all those things. So as we do that, a lot of things have taken place. Many things have happened, haven't I? We've had many occasions to rejoice over many events, and we've seen many things come to pass, and we've said many things, spoken many things. We've probably thought a lot of things, and probably a lot of great things, a lot of good things, and even some things we mightn't have been so good, and we don't want to sort of remember about. We want to erode them from our memories because they weren't pleasant things. But as we know, overall, you know, there's always the good things happening there, but even in the midst of things, you know, we can praise God, can't we? We can thank God and we can rejoice because God, through his willingness to love and forgive us, and that's the heartening thing, is it? That God is willing and able to forgive. He is willing to overcome our shortcomings, and just as we should be willing forgive our brothers and sisters in all our shortcomings and the times we fail one another and all that sort of thing. But so we just see that God's great love for us, that through his love, his grace, he is able to work through us, for us to be able to forgive one another, all that sort of thing, because God cancels out the old, doesn't he? God cancels out the old things, the times where we fail and we just don't measure up to what God would have us be. And so when those things happen, God just is able to count out the old and bring in this newness, because the love and the grace of God just breaks down enormous barriers, doesn't it? God, he's bigger than us, amen? And just as well, because, you know, we're so short-sighted at times, aren't we? We just can't look far enough ahead to see that, you know, beyond those times when we fail, you know, that there's always something over the hill. And that's often when I go out the bush and that, and I know Mike and Shirley go hiking. I suppose when you go up a hill, you're always looking over the hill to see what you're going to see on the other side. And as you get out in the bush and hiking around mountains and always that, you know, you're just able to see so much of God's goodness and his glory and his creation. So we should be able to see things like that in our life, you know, when we come up against the wall or something comes against us. We just need to be able to look over that hurdle that we've hit, that wall that we've hit. As I said, praise God. He is through his willingness to love and forgive us, you know, he is able. And so we do that. And it's often good to just look back and reminisce and look at the past. But as we know, we can do that. There's nothing wrong with reminiscing and looking back, isn't it? We can do that, and you can rejoice in so many things. So many things happen over the years and that. But we do that. But we always have that hope that we're able to always looking ahead. And particularly for us in God, you know, God is always making ways and giving us opportunities and opening our minds and our thoughts that we're able to look ahead and we're able to sort of dream in that sense as God shows us things and that. I know I'm sure for your own lives and for your families and all that sort of thing, for our churches, you know, we always have that picture, don't we, you know, of things, of, you know, how it can be bigger and better and all that sort of thing. And in our own lives and our families, we want to look beyond that, don't we? And have that picture, and because, you know, have that living and certain hope, you know, that comes within us through the person of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is able to lift us up and to aspire us to look ahead. And so we do that, and as we look back, you know, we can always look back with many things, and we look back at the past, but we know without a past there is no future. And so we look back on the past, and if we've made mistakes, well, we can learn from them, can't we? We can always, we can't fix things, what's happened in the past a lot, but we can tomorrow, can we? We can avoid making the mistake that we make today. We can learn from that and not bring it upon us tomorrow. But so we always apply the principles of success, don't we? Of what God's done, we want to keep using that, use it in the future, that we all might grow in many ways and not dwell in the past. And so we do that. But I say that, you know, we remember the good times, the sad times, we laugh, we cry, we do all those things over past happenings, but, you know, we don't want to dwell in the past, do we? And because if we do that, if we're going to dwell in the past, that's where we're going to stay. And we always want to look ahead and there. And as I said a moment ago, God is God willing, which he is. We will be here tomorrow, won't we? Through and the days to follow, because God is willing and able to do what? Tell me, exceedingly, what? Abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. And we need to use that power that worketh in us, that spirit that God's placed within us, to give us that strength to be the encouragement to face whatever tomorrow might bring. But so we just have to believe in that scripture, don't we? We use it in our life. And as we see that, you know, there's so much happening in the world today. The great tragedy of the earthquake in Haiti. We had planes coming down. There's been floods coming down. There's terrorist bombers still terrorising the world, sort of thing. And even I seen in the paper during the week, I think there's a full page of all how you ride into the sun, your little blurbs and everything. And there's a full page. I think there was 35 things about how poor kangaroo had to be destroyed, and one person wrote all these comments about the kangaroo dying, and not one comment about 100,000 people plus dying in Haiti. The poor policeman had to do his job and put a kangaroo out of its misery. But you see how the values, you know, they're just not right, you know. Poor kangaroo had to be destroyed, but look at those people, and they're fighting for food, you know, fighting for survival. It changes every minute of the day, doesn't it? We never know what a day will bring. Look at that poor man during the week, that business millionaire. Their families' lives are changed forever. And they'll always be wondering what happened, what took place, how did this happen? So we just don't know, do we? And so that's why it's so important that we have this peace in our heart, that we can be contented in life in every way, that we know that God is with us, that God is with us and always there. Challenges appear one upon the other that never seem like in the past. So it seems our dependence upon God has to be more resilient. We have to be stronger people to meet the things that rise up before us. There needs to be a greater desire, doesn't it, to look to God for help in overcoming the forces that come upon us. And as I said, the things happen every day. We just don't know what will come before us, you know, and these things can become so undaunting. But nevertheless, whatever happens, we still want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. We know God is always doing something good, even in the midst of things. Many things we just don't understand, and we ask, you know, why does this happen? But we know, I suppose, in our hearts, because man has turned his back on God. And so how can we expect God to continue to pour out his blessing upon us when the greater part of his people have turned his backs on them? So we don't want to miss out on what God's doing. And so I'd say to us today, you know, that as we start out upon a new year, we all want to start well, don't we? We all want to start the year well. And I believe if we start the year well, we're going to finish well. And as Pastor Patricia mentioned in the announcement, next week it's Vision Sunday, and Pastor Chris will unfold the vision that God has laid on his heart for us for the whole year. And so as we listen to that vision, as we grasp hold of the year, and as we run with what God has laid on Pastor Chris's heart for the church, that we will follow and will support in every way and be a part of that vision. And we know as we do that, God will continue to pour out that abundance. But as I said, as we start this year, we need to start well, don't we? We need to start well. And if we want to start well, you know, we just have a tremendous opportunity to start all over again, because God is a God of what? New beginnings. God always wants to do something good, something new in our lives, and God is willing and able to help us overcome all these things, to make a new start in life, to make a new beginning, and to start afresh. But so for many people, you know, doing this, but for all of us, I just feel particularly what it means is wanting more of God and less of ourselves, isn't it? More of God and less of ourselves. And if it means putting things right in God's sight, well, then now is the time to do it. You know, Malachi particularly, there he speaks, you could probably say, very harshly. But Malachi had to bring a hard word upon the people of that time. And it still applies in our life today. You know, it speaks there about don't rob God, stop robbing God, all those things. He speaks also very strongly how we weary God. We weary God, and how we rob him. And you say, well, how are we robbing God? But you read Malachi, and it speaks very clearly there. It says, and if you ask, how am I robbing God? Well, you're robbing God of your time. You're robbing God of your prayer life. You're robbing God of your praise and worship. You're robbing God of your tithes and your offerings. You know what? God wants to open up the floodgates of heaven to pour out into life. And what are we doing? All we're doing is blocking God. In many, many cases, we're blocking what God wants to do because we just won't come to that place where we give God our time, where we're prepared to stop and pray, where we're time to just praise and lift our hands up and praise and worship, and the time where we're prepared to release our finances and give back into the kingdom of God, that we might sow in to bring people to come to know him. And get, because God wants us to be kingdom builders, amen? God wants us in every way. So that's why I'm saying this morning. I'm sure Malachi, he had a great burden on his heart. And when he spoke those words, I'm sure he was deeply grieved that he had to come to that place where he had to say to people, you do what is right before in the sight of God. And there. And he said, stop, if you read it, you can sort of read between the lines. Stop your whinging, get on with life. Treat God right, and he will treat you right. If you will bless him, he will bless you. Amen? And so we see that there. But all over Christmas, you know, we experienced how tempting it is with all the glitter and the trimmings and everything that, you know, is on offer. And there's the world just telling us, you know, you've got to have it, you know, you've just got to die. But where's Christmas now? It's all packed away, isn't it? All the trimmings, the glitter, the Christmas trees. I only just pulled down ours last week ago. So it all goes so quick. I said, leave it up. It'll be ready for next year. But Christmas is packed away, but not so for us, is it? That time of rejoicing, not so in the kingdom of God. We just don't pack Jesus away, put him in a box and that sort of thing, and forget him until 12 months' time. We rejoice every day, amen? That's what this new birth, this new, the eagerly awaited Messiah has brought into our life. It's not a once a year occasion when we come to just give all our praise and glory over a 3 or 4 day period. We have that each and every day of our life, 24/7, don't we? Every day. And our season of celebration lasts for what? Forever, doesn't it? And so we do rejoice in that. And so Jesus is the new birth that has been part of our lives. And it continues. He continues to grow in us, doesn't he? He continues to grow us. And so this morning I encourage people. I understand how things can be difficult for many families and individual people. But all I ask is just try to remember the good things. Remember the good things. And most of all, the blessing you are to each other. We are a blessing from God. And we are a blessing to each other. And so we fit in that way. And there. Encourage you. You are a blessing to each other. Cherish the country you live in. You know, we're millions around the world, you know, that are less fortunate than us, aren't they? We see so much thing, you know, there. So, you know, we just need to get in that mode of blessing and greeting each other, all that sort of thing in the right way. There's a story, I think I told it a couple of years ago, about, you know, God never loves us more than when we're giving. Amen? As I said, over Christmas, we experience that. How we're able to give to one another, reciprocate with gifts and bless one another. But the story that goes that Charles Swindoll told following an incident in London at the end of World War II, and it goes like this, and it says, a US soldier was visiting a bakery to choose a selection of cakes. And when he was doing this, he noticed a small boy who's just seemed to be hungrily glaring through a window. You ever seen kids up against a shop window? I've done it myself. Looking at all the cakes, you know, you walk past the cake shops in the supermarket. And, So there's this little young boy, you know, just longingly looking at the cakes, and it was a time when the rationing had just been lifted there, and been 6 weeks, 6 years, and with all this ration, it seems I just come onto the market. So this American soldier, he went in and purchased his cakes and came out, walked back to his jeep, and suddenly he feels this tugging on his... I'm a little bit ahead of myself there. But the soldier noticed that boy, and as the soldier went back to his jeep, something touched him, you know, and he turned around and he went over and gave the box of cakes to the small boy. And so the soldier turned around, he got in his jeep, and just as he's going to drive off, this little kid pulls his coat. And the little kid says, the boy just stood there with this look on his face, and he said, "Mister," and clutching the box of cakes, he said, "Are you God?" And Swindle concluded the story with a powerful line: "We are never more like God than when we give." I encourage you with those words this morning, you know, that we are never more like God than when we give. The author also went on to say, he said, it's worth contemplating the words of Jesus. He says, live out your God-created identity. Live graciously and generously toward others the way God lives toward you. The way God lives you. Because God wants the very best for us, doesn't he? The very best. And it's up to us to pursue his plans and the purposes that he has for us. And so I say to us all, start the year well. We will finish well. Keep moving with God. Honour what God has done in his life. And as Malachi says, give back to God what is rightfully his. Give back to God what is rightfully his. The praise, the prayer, the worship, your tithes, your finances, your time, all that sort of thing. Let us start the year well. As I said, next Sunday is Vision Sunday. Honour our pastor. Honour him. Encourage him for the way that his pastors have ministered to the church, for his commitment and input into the whole overseeing of the church family. Honour his wife, Miriam, and their boys. Just encourage them. And just as I thank you, and my wife, on behalf of my wife, Pastor Patricia, you know, we thank you for your love and support, the way you encourage us as a people, as a church. You know, we're so grateful in so many different ways that, you know, we know that you're with us, you know. And that's very heartening, that, you know, we can stand up and say and know that people are with you. And we just thank you so much for your support in so, so many ways, you know. But and so I say, you know, to honour our pastor, you know, it's not always easy. And in their ministering a church, because, you know, we're people and we all have different ideas, and often those things rise up. And you know, as the year unfolds, let God just do a new thing in us, do a new thing in us. And the great things are going to happen, you know. We want to continue to have a real impact and an effect upon this community to see the kingdom of God grow. And we just need to let that happen. And we just need to be the shining light, you know, that we've spoken so much over the past year. And let light, let hope light your way. And also I'd like to encourage you with a story. I think I read this last Christmas, or the one before, but it's called The Gospel Tree. And just like to encourage you with this morning, because as you listen to this, it just shows you so much how we feel at times. And it goes on to say, there once was a shining Christmas tree standing out where we all could see. Its brilliance captured every eye and seemed to cheer each passerby. The lights are so bright, they would say, and hesitate and walk away. The tree stood proud, ablaze with light, for every bulb was burning bright. That should be us. Then one bulb was heard to say, "I'm tired of burning night and day. I think I'll just go out and take a rest, for I am too tired to do my best. Besides, I'm so very small, I doubt if I'd be missed at all." Then a small child touched the tree lovingly. He said, "Look, Mum, this one shines so very bright. This one looks the best for me, to me." Here's the momentum. "Oh my goodness," said the light, "I almost dim right out of sight. I thought perhaps no one would care if I failed to shine my share." With that, a glorious brilliance came, for every light had felt the same. Our gospel, like the Christmas tree, with little lights, which are you and me. We each have a space that we must fill with love and lessons and goodwill. Let us keep our tree ablaze with light and testimony burning bright. For our gospel is a living tree that lights the way to eternity. So I just trust that that might encourage you. You know, even though there are times when we get tired and we might feel like giving up, and if we all done that, well, it'd be hopeless, wouldn't it? But, you know, praise God that through the power of God, you know, that spirit, that kinship, that fellowship, that loves us, that God gives with us, just rises up. You know, as I said, we can all feel tired and ineffective, like that little bulb that wanted to go out. But when we all work together with the load of light, isn't it? And we may think that no one notice of, "Oh, I'll just back off and let someone else do it." No one will notice that I'm backing off. But God sees and knows your worth, amen? And he just wants us to be in there, be up front there doing things. And so the coming of the other year signals us to get ready, doesn't it? To get ready and to rise up and to face the challenges of another year, to look forward to what God is going to do. And we're going to watch a PowerPoint now, but and also at the end of the service, we're going to sing a really good song, "Lord, the light of your love is shining." You know, and I'm sure as we sing that, it will stir us and challenge our hearts, and for us to have a greater desire to touch others for Jesus. Amen? So let that be our part of our lives this day, that, excuse me, that we start the year well. We have that hope and desire to look ahead. I trust that just stirs you this morning, but as the musicians come before, we're going to sing the song, "The Lord of your light, of your love is shining." And again this morning, I just issue the challenge and the invitation that what I spoke about this morning, today can be a new beginning. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, today if you want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, just come forward as we sing this song. Come forward if you have need for prayer, any need in your life. If you want God to touch your life, and just be open to listen. But most of all, let the Spirit of God settle on your lives. Be at peace be at peace within yourselves. But just open yourselves and avail yourselves as we wait upon you to come forward. Thank you.